There are three verses I would like to read with you this evening, and these are verses that have really impressed me, and I get a thrill every time I think of these verses. The first one of these verses is in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 21. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." The second verse that I'd like to read is in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. And I would like to read verse 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And then the third verse is in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It's really the end of the verse, but we should always read the full verse. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he," now that's the Lord Jesus, "hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now I'm sure that you have been able to identify the fact that all three verses we read have a promise in mind. All three verses, the individual has said, "I will never leave thee." And the first one is Ittai. And Ittai says, whatever place where my Lord the King is, whether in life or death, there will thy servant be. And we think of him. Who is Ittai? Well, the scripture tells us that Ittai was a Gittite. And who were the Gittites? Well, the Gittites were warriors from Gath. You think of that. Here's a man from Gath promising to never leave the king of Israel. And when I thought of him, I thought of this, that it's quite possible that Ittai stood on the mountain and watched David defeat Goliath the giant in the Valley of Elah. And no doubt at that time he heard David's words. And David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast cursed." And I would imagine that the hearing those words touched his heart. But then I think as well, when you come to chapter 21, there's David and he's come down to Gath. And I think that Ittai would have seen him and observed what he did. And in chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, we read that David changed his behavior before the men. And then, no doubt, when we turn to chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, that word would have come down to Gath about David. David has gathered around him a group of people that are in debt and distress and discouraged, and he's lifted their spirits, and they have followed him, and they've become his mighty men. And I believe it would have touched Ittai's heart. But then we can turn to 1 Samuel 27. David comes back to Gath. And I believe that Ittai would have seen him. This time, David didn't change his behavior. This time, David came in as a mighty warrior. And the king gave him, Achish gave him Ziklag as his house, home to dwell in. But then we come to this chapter here in 2 Samuel, and what has happened here? Well, Ittai has come up from Gath, and he has come up, and he is seeking to serve David. Why did he come up? Well, I think he came up because his heart was won. Because in all circumstances in which he heard David, that David behaved himself wisely, and the Lord was with him. And that's what attracted Ittai to David. The Lord was with him. And you know, as I thought of this, the Lord is with David. But you said, I think of it as this. We don't do anything that does not affect others. Everything we do, every choice we make will have an effect upon others. And when we look in this chapter, we find Ittai has come up from Gath. But 600 men from Gath have followed Ittai and they've gone to serve David. They're there to protect David. And David's day of rejection. And I think of this. What really impressed me this is the words of Mordecai to Esther. In chapter 4 of the book of Esther, we find that Mordecai is speaking to Esther about the decree of death that has been pronounced upon all the children of Israel. And Mordecai tells Esther, you won't escape. You can hold your tongue. You don't have to say anything. But remember, your family won't escape. And then he says to her, who knoweth but that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I think of this. You have come to this assembly for such a time as this. We know that we're going through times of trial and difficulty. And yet, God has brought you here. And I think of this vow that he has made. There will thy servant be. And I think of Ittai's promise, and that promise was because of David's character. He behaved himself wisely. The Lord was with him. And I think of one who was greater than David. And they said of him, he hath done all things well. And no one has ever spoken like this man. And he is a man approved of God. And this is Ittai, and he's making this promise. Where thou art, there I will be. But then we looked at that second man. And we repeat that verse again. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee, Elijah. And that was in verse 2. But if we were to go down to verse 4, we would find that he repeats exactly the same words, the same promise. And Elisha said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee, Elijah." And then if we were to go down to verse 6, we would find he's repeating the same promise. Three times over, he repeated that promise. "I will not leave thee." And you think of this. There were things that could have distracted him, could have caught his attention. But Elijah was the center of his attention. He could have been turned aside to Bethel. And you think of what Bethel means, the house of God, which would suggest that there were people in that city who believed in God, who sought to serve God, but he wouldn't turn aside for that. And I think of how much that would speak of Christendom today. I think of this from amongst the friends and the relatives that I have are out in the Christendom. 50 years ago, the hymns and the sermons that were preached were all about Christ. But today, those friends, they're lamenting. They lament to me and tell me over and over again that today the hymns and the sermons are about me and what I want and what I need, and Christ is put aside. And Elisha would not turn to Bethel. And then they went on and they could have turned into Jericho. Now, a couple of weeks ago, our brother Richard reminded us that Jericho was the city of the curse. In Joshua chapter 6, Joshua curses that city. And what does Jericho represent? It represents the fads and the pursuits of the world, the pleasures of the world. And what was it that attracted the attention of Achan when Israel conquered Jericho? It was the riches and the fads of the world. As a result, he lost his life and the life of all of his family. And I think when we come over to the New Testament, we read of Demas. And Demas was attracted to the things of the world. He wanted the world's approval. And really, we see believers today, ones who have had a testimony, and now what are they seeking? They're seeking the fads and the wealth and the approval of the world. They've gone away. And Elisha says, "I won't go there. I won't go there. I want to be with you." And then they came to the River Jordan. And the River Jordan speaks to me, suggests to me spiritual victory. Because it was at the River Jordan that the Israel rolled away the reproach of Egypt. And when we read Joshua chapter 6 and verse 9, God says, "The reproach of Egypt has been rolled away." And then as well, we look at the Jordan River. They crossed the Jordan River at flood time. And being at flood time with man, that would have been an impossibility. But they were able to cross the River Jordan because God opened the way for them. That which was impossible with men was possible with God. And the priests with the ark stepped into the waters, and the waters retreated. And the people, and I always think of this, they walked by faith and not by sight. For as they were instructed that as they were crossed the Jordan, they were to keep their eye upon the priests and the Ark of the Covenant. And they walked safely across the water. And what was centered in Elijah's attention was Elisha's attention was Elijah, that man of God. And I think of this, both Idai and Elisha made vows that were interrupted by a separation from the one they were speaking to. Elisha was separated from Elijah because God called Elijah home. We aren't told the circumstances why Idai was separated from David, but it's likely it's because of death. It's possible because Idai's name is not mentioned when David sums up his mighty men that Idai had already passed away. He had died. But then we have a sure promise. And I read that last verse. And I read that last verse in Hebrews 13 for those words. For Jesus hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. A sure promise. And I think of this, that the Apostle Paul must have had that promise in mind when he wrote to the Romans, and he could say, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we think of that assurance the Apostle Paul had because of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, we have that promise. Do we have the Lord promising that anywhere else? And I turned to John chapter 6, and in verse 37 he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will keep them, he say. I'll never cast them out. And then we could turn to John chapter 10, and we often repeat these words there. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and no man shall pluck them out of my hands. I and my Father are one, and he's given us eternal security. But have you ever thought of the circumstances under which the Lord gave that promise? Historically, the Lord gave that promise on the day of dedication. It tells us that in that chapter. It was the Feast of Dedication. What is the Feast of Dedication? That was a day of dedication when Israel vowed that they would serve no other God but the Lord God. That their vow would be like Idai's vow. There shall thy servant be. Like Elisha's vow, I will never leave thee. And that's what Feast of Dedication was all about. Israel promising to fulfill what Idai had said and what Elisha had said. And the Lord says this, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And in contrast to a failing people, we have a Savior who is saying, I will keep you. I will keep you secure wherever you are. I will be with you. No matter where you go, and the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Philippians, he could say, the Lord is at hand. And there are many variations in which people look at that verse, but I look at this. Where it's verses, again, focusing upon the Lord saying, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is always with you. He is standing right beside you to protect you, to guide you, to preserve you. And I thought of this. When the Lord Jesus was praying that high priestly prayer in John 17, he prays this, I manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and I have kept them. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. I have kept. And I think of this. Every one of us is being kept secure because we have a sure promise that will never be broken, because our Lord, the one who saved us, has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And I think of how wonderful a privilege that we have to belong to him. Shall we pray?